This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
I tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
Let me ask, if I may ask one other question. Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough.
Mr. President,
All right, so some heated words. The president and CNN reporter Jim Acosta. It was one of the things that happened out of the White House today. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, it is never boring, my friends, never. That's why I love doing this thing and sitting behind this mic. And Jeff Sessions, out. So now there is fear about what's going to happen to the Russian probe, and is Mueller going to go down next? So before we get into Acosta, let's talk about the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. It happened. You know, this is something that had been coming, right? Is anyone completely shocked by it, the timing, but that happened? I don't think so. So now the interim dude, successor, Matthew Whitaker, he is saying that this should be a limited inquiry. Sessions resigned and made it clear that he was booted because he said he resigned at the president's request. So then the Democrats were on the move, warning that this could derail Robert Mueller. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi said Trump's firing of Sessions was a blatant attempt to undermine Mueller's work. So where does this all end up? And the answer is it's a big, giant question mark. That's the answer. And I'll tell you what, Twitter exploded with this. I mean, just absolutely exploded. So New York Representative Gerald Nadler, the ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee, said the president's action represented a perilous moment for the country and said that Donald Trump may think he has the power to hire and fire whomever he pleases, but he cannot take such action if it is determined that it is for the purposes of subverting the rule of law and obstructing justice. So where does that go? We don't know. We do know this. I did some digging on Whitaker. In 2016, he said, wrote actually, that he believed Hillary Clinton should have been indicted over her use of a private email server. He did another piece where he disagreed with FBI director, because he was the FBI director then, James Comey, saying that no reasonable prosecutor would indict Clinton for handling classified documents as Secretary of State on a private email server. And he did another piece while serving as executive director for the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust, where he talked about various things. And the answer is we can dig and we can look. But it ultimately comes down to his call, well, a call, as to whether Mueller will wrap this thing up or not. Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, said Special Counsel Mueller must be allowed to complete his work without interference, regardless of who the Attorney General is. And that's the problem with all of this. I mean, listen, this has been going on a long time. I've said this. What comes out of the investigation? What are we gonna see from this investigation? And the answer is we don't really know. There's nothing. Honestly, nothing giant has leaked. Just innuendo and conversation. But where's the hardcore? And that's honestly, that's it's like show and tell. So then show us. When do you show us and there may now be a pressed up, you know, get it done now or else kind of thing. It could be the or else moment. Could be that. And the Matthew Whitaker, the guy who is serving as the acting attorney general, was involved in a invention marketing company that the Federal Trade Commission said was a scam. It was called the World Patent Marketing. He sat on the advisory board there, and they had to pay $26 million in a settlement after they said that they had deemed investors, after the Federal Trade Commission said that. Whitaker, though, wasn't named as the defendants in the case in the firm, but court filings show that he got payments from the company, just normal payments, which is based in Florida. So does that, you know, how much does that taint him or not? There were a lot of articles written about this. The Miami New Times first reported his ties to the company. So Whitaker is, though, the acting attorney general after Jeff Sessions announced his resignation at the president's request. The reporter, in talking about Jim Acosta, he is been denied the hard pass, so access to the White House where he can easily get in and out. That was revoked after the back and forth at the press conference, and you heard what the president had to say and how he said it. I don't see any change in the weather there. The, you know, talking about the way Sarah Huckabee Sanders was treated, and that's what the president said, that, you know, that that's not right, the way that you treat her. And Acosta tweeted out, "I've just been denied entrance to the White House. Secret Service just informed me I cannot enter the White House grounds for my 8 o'clock hit." So will CNN have to do an end around? I don't know what you can really do there. I've explained this before, but reporters who cover the White House get a hard pass to get easy entry and exit to the grounds, because it would be not... there'd be too many time constraints if you're trying to do live shots and that kind of thing. So whether he's going to get some other sort of entry, who knows, but he was turned away at the gates. The White House Correspondents Association reacted. They released a statement saying that the revocation of his access is unacceptable. And the White House Correspondents Association said journalists may use a range of approaches to carry out their jobs, and the White House Correspondents Association does not police the tone or frequency of the questions the members ask of powerful senior government officials, including the president. And then they went on to say, such interactions, however uncomfortable they may appear to be, help define the strength of our national institutions. We urge the White House to immediately reverse this weak and misguided action. You think they're going to reverse that action? I don't think they're going to reverse that action. He is definitely one of the more aggressive reporters on the Trump beat, but he definitely has a lot of critics because of that too. Fans and critics. Jump the fence with me. I'll meet you on the other side here on America Tonight.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Reader for his fine work on the technicals on America Tonight. Always entertaining. Tell you what, not lost in what's happened as we wait to see what shakes out in Arizona in a race, what happens in Georgia with the governor's office. Will Stacey Adams somehow end up in a runoff with Kemp, although it's not really looking that way? Does the Republican trump the Democrat there? It's been a wild election cycle, and so many people went to vote. I think that's the great news about all of this, that there were some things that ended, and there were some things that now are beginning, and where that road meets us all, we have no way to know. But I wanted to throw in a couple of other things that are happening across the U.S. besides a CNN reporter getting his hard pass yanked from the White House and the very serious story of Jeff Sessions no longer being the Attorney General. And what does that mean, and what happens next? Believe it or not, the Girl Scouts are suing the Boy Scouts over the name change. So check this out. The Girl Scouts of the United States of America filed a trademark infringement lawsuit on Monday against the Boy Scouts of America for dropping the word boy from the program in an effort to attract girls. In the complaint, it was filed in New York in a federal court. The Girl Scouts say the program doesn't have a right under either federal or New York law to use terms like scouts or scouting by themselves in connection with services offered to girls, or to rebrand itself as the Scouts. they're saying that it damages the goodwill of the Girl Scout trademarks and it erodes their core identity. And it marginalizes the Girl Scouts movement by causing the public to believe that the Girl Scouts of the USA, their extraordinarily successful services, are not true or official scouting programs, but niche services with limited utility and appeal. I was waiting for that to happen, and it did. In May, the Boy Scouts, the program for 11 to 17-year-olds, announced that they would change the name to Scouts BSA in February. The parent company will remain the Boy Scouts of America and the Cub Scouts. So girls are allowed in. Isn't that interesting? And we know, like I said, this has been happening. I mean, this has been happening for since the spring, that conversation. But what happens in that lawsuit will be intriguing. Do the Girl Scouts trump the Boy Scouts in a way? Crazy. All right, I'm a coffee drinker. I will admit it. I love coffee. Do you love coffee? I do. I love to drink coffee. Not ridiculous amounts, but it is what I definitely do in the morning. It's a ritual thing for sure, and I enjoy it. So, you know, there's always, is it good for you? Is it bad for you? And you can imagine during this election cycle, there is lots of coffee being poured all over the place. So new research is suggesting that coffee can protect your brain and the roast matters. Canadian researchers from the Crembrill Brain Institute in Toronto tested Starbucks VIA instant light roast, dark roast, and decaffeinated dark roast for some compounds. They think the compounds, which are the result of the roasting process, are the key to brain health. Wow. If I'm Starbucks and I can nail more to the wall on that, that's going to be my next campaign. Here's why you should come in and get a cup of XYZ. But, you know, I think you have to be a little skeptical of this JAMA, which is the Bible of medical journals. Said most coffee studies are association studies, so they don't show that coffee is the actual reason for the finding. So is it a cure? I mean, you know, it's still, again, one of those things that who knows? There used to be an old song. It was called Everything Gives You Cancer. Everything gives you cancer, or it doesn't give you cancer. And, you know, people have been debating coffee for a long time, probably since I started drinking coffee. The first cup of coffee I had, I was a kid. My aunt drank coffee, and she was cool, and I wanted to taste it, and she let me taste it. That was a Joe Jackson song, by the way. Everything gives you cancer. There's no cure. There's no answer. I still remember that. So that's got to be pretty old. I'm going to say that's like 80s. I think that was in the 80s. So when I see any of these stories about good or bad, you got to take it with a grain of salt. Definitely. All right, how about this? In the constant battle of the phone and looking for a cell phone and selfies and everything else, I think this is a terribly sad story. A 22-year-old guy, his name is Scott Walsh from Colorado, got some serious injuries, cracked skull. Now, what do you think he did? Cracked skull, ruptured neck arteries, broken legs. What could possibly lead to that? And he's not a professional athlete. He fell down an apartment trash chute and into a trash compactor at the bottom. They even posted a GoFundMe account for him. What happened was a friend lost a phone down the chute. He tried to retrieve it, and that's when he fell down the chute about 15 feet. That is crazy. 15 feet. He lost his balance. He fell, and he was searching for that missing phone. And they say when he came out, he's lucky to be alive, that when he came out of the trash compactor, it wasn't good. the trash compactor was weight activated. So the good news is no brain or spinal damage. The bad news is he's going to have a long, long-term recovery, and he's in stable condition. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Just trying to help a friend grab up a phone. Crazy. It's the whole thing with the phones, with selfies, with losing phones, with going after phones, with putting yourself in dangerous situations. Of course, he's not thinking that. He's thinking just to grab it up, and then look what happens. It's, you know, he falls down 15 feet, and that's crazy. All right, with all the seriousness of the results of the election, there was a few funnies that happened. It's easy to bag on politics, right? So Jimmy Kimmel was on the streets in Hollywood the day after the midterm elections with some fake news. He pretended Kid Rock won a Michigan Senate seat Tuesday, and people actually believed it. So he, of course, sends one of his pranksters out to unsuspecting pedestrians who are walking around. And during a special Kid Rock, the vote, and asked about, you know, outlandishly that he had won, but the people had no clue. They thought it was true. He didn't do it. But it was a funny moment just to try to dupe people. Speaking of being duped, would you buy a $5.7 million house, a futuristic house featured on Star Trek, The Next Generation? It's in Malibu, California, and if you have that money, it's yours. 3.5 bathrooms, kitchen, well, hopefully, ocean view terrace, a lavender and rose garden, a spa-like bath in the master suite, emerald stone countertops. The house was featured in the third episode of season 3 of the sci-fi show in 1989 when the USS Enterprise entered a distress call from a destroyed planet and found only 2 survivors living in the house. It's kind of a Euro-style contemporary house. Yeah, that's a lot of money to pretend you're in a show from back in 1989. It's kind of cool looking, though, I have to say. Hang with us.
Stone, all alone and long. For a life of sin, I have paid the call.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Jeff Sessions has tendered his resignation as Attorney General. The president made the announcement on Twitter, and almost instantly people warned him not to tamper with the Mueller probe.
Protecting Mueller is paramount.
Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer said ending or limiting the Mueller probe could lead to a constitutional crisis. Virginia Senator Mark Warner.
This would appear as a desperate effort to try to undermine the integrity of this whole special prosecutor process.
President Trump spoke a few hours earlier.
The Democrats will come to us with a plan for infrastructure, a plan for health care, a plan for whatever they are looking at, and we'll negotiate. What's bad for them is, being in the majority, I'm just going to blame them. You understand? I'm going to blame them. They're the majority.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn, the conservative warrior. My show, War Now, airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 Eastern, 3 to 6 Pacific. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. And I'm a number one best-selling author of conservative books. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was the opening speaker at many Trump for President events. I addressed over 40,000 patriots at the biggest Tea Party in the history of America. Sarah Palin and I addressed over 20,000 at the biggest Tea Party rally in the history of Nevada. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events all over this great country. And I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me now to arrange for a Wayne Allyn Root keynote speech or master of ceremonies at your GOP event, fundraiser, banquet, campaign rally, or college GOP event with me as your keynote speaker. It'll be the biggest hit ever. Just call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Again, he's an author, and he's written a book. He alluded to it at the tail end of our last interview, Battersea Island. When I think of Battersea Island, I just am conjuring up all kinds of images in my head, and I have a feeling that's what he wanted us to do. So, Robert, thanks for joining us again on the show. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Kate, and hopefully I can have as much fun this segment as I did with the last one.
So let's talk about the island. How did you come up with this, and what is the basic premise of Battersea Island?
I was led to Battersea Island through a friend. I have a friend. He's down here in the Tampa region of Florida, and he's a South Carolina guy. He's from the farms right outside of Charleston as a young boy. And he, one night in a pub by the Gulf of Mexico there where we would sit and suck beers, explained to me the culture of the Gullah Geechee. And this is, how do I say, there are islands that surround South Carolina, Georgia, the northern tip of Florida, the southern tip of North Carolina, and they're inhabited with the Gullah Geechee. These are the people who were enslaved out of Western Africa and brought to these islands, this region, during slavery, for the sole purpose to grow rice. The conditions of these islands, the climate is identical to Western Africa, Western Angola, Sierra Leone, the Ivory Coast of Africa, so that they could tolerate the mosquito infestation and the heat and all of that. And they knew how to grow rice, which the slave owners did not. And when I had come across visiting these islands, and they're very historic, and the culture, the music, the food, it is incredible. The history, One island in particular is where Dr. King formulated his nonviolence policy, only because it was the only place in America where J. Edgar Hoover couldn't track them. These islands were not accessible by car. They were basically only accessible by boat. Today, so many islands are connected to the mainland by a bridge. But Battersea is off the southeast coast of Savannah, and its landmass is probably the same as Manhattan, only it's circular as opposed to Manhattan being very long, lengthy. And I went there for 2 weeks. There was a guest house that I could stay in, and you do have to get permission to get to that, get on that island. And it was just a different world, Kate. A very, in the book, it really describes it well. There's nothing on this island except 80 families that have been there. They're the descendants of the original slaves. Some are direct children, some are grandchildren. And on that island is nothing. There's no Walmart. There's no post office. There's no schools. There's no fire department. There's no police department. There's no traffic lights. There's maybe a mile and a half of a paved tar road coming out of the ferry dock. It's all woods. The north end of the island, you have a university's marine biology students that study there. And on the south end is an old, I believe it was the old R.J. Reynolds plantation on the actual island I stayed on. And it's just a different way of life.
Wow. So with the characters, and in this book, you talk about that, right? About how do you, what do they do? How do they live? I mean, you've just described it. It's so remote. And I guess they must love the island and they must love each other. They must have a sense of connection. Is that true?
That's very true. The religion is strong. The family ties are strong. Again, there's only 80 families. And they're not ever leaving that island, although, as you read in the book, the county and the state wants them off this island for the sole purpose of developing that area, that island, into a monster Hilton Head resort golf thing. And so the county imposes an incredibly huge tax assessment on their properties. But, of course, these people, they're not leaving. And they abide the law, and they go to court to fight it. You know, they have a lawyer, they have some help. Enters our main character, Matthias, a 21-year-old college student, takes a leave from school to descend upon this island to get involved in their effort, plight, if you will. And what Matthias brings to the table is, here we go again, Kate, every character will always have a touch of paranormal ability. Matthias is an empath. He is, think of a high level of intuition. He has a sense of things to come. He can read people almost upon first contact and know what their motives are, what their agenda is. Are they true to their hearts? He has that gift that he's discovering and begins to develop when he's on this island. It's an inherited trait that he got from his mother. And so it kind of makes it interesting. He befriends the lead advocate of Battersea Island, Harper Shea. And together with a paralegal and a lawyer, the story is about their struggle to overcome the county's war to push him off the island.
Wow. And so they're fighting. I mean, they're fighting for their livelihood. They're fighting for their way of life in a much different world. And it's interesting because you talk about Matthias being an empath and the fact that you mix in this to your books. And, you know, it's fascinating. And I would think you would have had to do a lot of research. Did you have to do a lot of research on that?
No. It's something I don't really talk about, Kate. But being half Hispanic, my mother's family being from Puerto Rico, the older ones on that island would always describe me. I don't speak Spanish, Kate. I kind of know phrases, but I don't speak Spanish. But then loosely translated in English is that the boy, God has blessed the boy with a sense of the devil. It's a very awkward phrase.
Mm-hmm.
They get into the black spirits, if you will, the black magic of the islands. Again, these are older people. And I never get into that, but I always seem to, and I've had people, bosses, superiors, they would always admire that I could figure out, I could almost sense certain things. Like, how did you know that was going to happen? How did you understand that what that individual said was not what he meant at all? And I can't explain it. And I just say, I don't know. It's like a gut feeling thing. So that's where it comes from.
Ah, so it's great because then you put, that's a little of your own life experience that you're, again, incorporating into some characters, well, little bits and pieces.
I kind of take the little thing that I have and then I expand it through a fictional character. I'm not quite Matthias. But, again, it's a touch of this. It's not a, you know, it's not that kind of book. There is
right.
a story to the book, but having a character have some kind of unusual ability kind of entices the plot or the meal, so to speak.
Absolutely. And so we'll tell everyone again, I'm speaking with Robert Nieder. He is our guest, and he's written this great book, Battersea Island. We're talking about it. And when you're finished with a book, when it's done, when you've looked at it, you put it together, you proofread it, everything else, what's that feeling like?
Well, the first thing I do is I get a cigarette. That was a bad allusion to an old thing. To be honest with you, when I did my first book, Kate, it was exhilaration. I actually broke down and cried. It was so emotional mm-hmm. for me. And I've heard other people talk about it as I've met other writers. But I was just drained because it'll take me 9 to 11 months to complete the initial draft. And I'll never forget that. I just came home, looked at my wife, and I said, I'm done. And I just started. I broke down in tears. You know, it was like an emotional loss. You know, like, now what do I do? I'm done. But it's,
right.
I enjoy it. It's also an exhilarating feeling.
And you knew, and we talked about this before, you knew this was something you wanted to do. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that you knew you wanted to do it. I asked you that question and you said you would do it. And then voila, you did it. So of course it's emotional. And your friends, their reaction, they must be so proud of you.
I've got a handful of people that will always read what I write because I need feedback, Kate. What's unusual, when I write a story, I have no clue if it's any good. It's almost like the cook making too much food for maybe a party of 30 or 40, and it gets to a point where, hey, you need to taste this because I've lost my taste with all this different foods here. So I really don't know if the books are any good. And Battersea Island is actually my second book, and the feedback I was getting was very strong, and I sat down and I said, well, I guess it's not bad. And my wife, of course, Carmen, is always the first to read these things because she'll help me proofread, and she loves it. But, you know, after writing 3 books, Kate, I've come to learn if I wrote about the kitchen sink, she would love it. So she's a little biased. I've come to learn that she is very biased.
I love that. It's a perfect place to end this. Robert Nieder, the book is called Battersea Island. Pick it up wherever books are sold, Amazon, etc. Robert, thanks so much.
Kate, thank you. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the time.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Dragon swallow evolution in one gulp. GodSaidManSaid.com. The sons of God and science admits a ghost species. The amazing power of going to church. GodSaidManSaid.com. Dinosaurs and man contemporaneously? You possess the world's greatest treasure. GodSaidManSaid.com. Life after death experiences. Sin bones. St. Peter's fish. Hours of text and streaming audio. GodSaidManSaid.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Do you have any of these symptoms? Night cramps in the hands and feet. Your arms and legs often go to sleep. On short walks, do your legs get aches and pains? Is your memory worse than it used to be? Ankles that swell late in the day? Has your blood pressure increased lately? If you answered yes to even one of these questions, you may have early warning signs of arterial blockages. Your body is saying that it is time to take Extendivite. These are not the normal signs of aging. They are the warning signs that accompany blocked arteries. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
back from somewhere, you know how it is with me, and I read this great book, Model Marine, Sandra Sykes Meek joins us now. She's the author of that book, and you know, people know I'm a voracious reader, and I love to read, but with the speaking and the show, and of course, as all of you know, I'm pulled on all kinds of directions, sometimes it's hard for me to focus lately, but boy, could I really focus on this one. It was such a great novel, I have to say. So Sandra, it was a page-turner. What a great story and what a novel you have weaved. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. That makes my day hearing you say that. It was a lot of love that went into that. So I hope it was a great read. And I hope it's one of those stories that can relate to a lot of people, or a lot of people can relate to.
Right. And see, I think that's what it is, that a lot of people can relate to it. So when you set out on doing that, you know, this kind of a novel, what was that process like for you?
It was a very long process for me because it was so important for me to get the story right. So when I first conceived this idea, I was still on active duty. I retired in 2010, and I began a master's program for creative writing, and I knew that the story I wanted to tell had to be about the Marine Corps and about women Marines specifically, mostly because I don't think that they are very well known, or I should say not much is known about them. So I worked on my master's program for a couple of years, developed my thesis, But when I was done with it, I wasn't ready to let it go. It wasn't where I needed it to be. So I entered back into the workforce after retiring from the Marine Corps. And I would say it sat on the shelf for about 5 years. And one day I just woke up and said, I have to finish this. And so I wrote like a maniac for about 6 months. That was in 2017. And I spent my weekends and mornings working on the book. And I wanted to bring in a lot of different themes. I wanted people to know about traumatic brain injury. I wanted people to understand what the combat experience is like. In our era of war. And so I think it was a lot of attention to detail and just a lot of time spent making sure that I got the story right. And I also wrote the story in a way so that people who were reading it, they had to put the puzzle pieces together, a lot like people who have traumatic brain injury do.
Wow, and that's what I think made it really so unique. So that's pulling all the aspects of it together, right? So the narration, the plot, the symbolism, all of that went into this really giant puzzle. Is that what it was like?
Yes, it was. And sometimes I would get confused in the writing process, and I'd say, oh, my goodness, I have this character doing the wrong thing right now. So, yes, it was a puzzle that needed to be put together. I wanted the reader to experience that feeling that people who have traumatic brain injury and PTSD experience. So, and I also wanted to give readers multiple perspectives so that they understood this combat experience from several sides of the story. And I hope I did that.
Yeah. So that's it. So the vantage point of what you think, what you're showing, and what an individual thinks, because we all have a different way of pulling something in and then thinking what that means and what the perception of truth is, right?
That's right. We all think truth is black and white, but I believe it's definitely gray, and it's definitely influenced by our perception. You know, our vantage point, what we're seeing, it can look completely different to someone from a different vantage point.
Boy, is that the truth. I think that's why it really resonated with me, because I'm definitely a gray person, too. I agree with you. It's not black and white. Tell us a little bit about your experience. You did a little, you know, mentioning what happened and putting it on the shelf and that kind of thing. What was your experience like as a Marine for you?
Oh, I love the Marine Corps. It wasn't black and white either. there were things about the Marine Corps that are very special to me, the sense of family. I can see any Marine from any time, any era. And we established that we were both Marines. We talk about when we served, where we served, who we served with, and we have an instant bond. I think the Marine Corps is a very unique organization, and I think it brings out the best in a lot of people. But that doesn't mean it always does. And there's always going to be a little bit of negative in every organization. And I wanted to be honest about that in this story. I wanted to be truthful in how I represented the Marine Corps. And I would say that overall my experience was great. I got to go on a couple of combat deployments. And I also married a Marine who also went on a couple of combat deployments. And we had a family together in the Marine Corps. And so it was a very unique experience. And I would say that there are some parts of that story where similar events that occurred in that story happened or I observed, you know, in my time in the Marine Corps. But I would say that there's always three sides to every story.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth? There always is different. There's different sides to every story. Who knows how many sides there are, actually. And in reading this, and you said it a little bit, for sure, what do you really hope your impact is with the novel? I mean, obviously, want people, like I said in the beginning, I really enjoyed it. There was a story there, because ultimately, when you write a novel, it's about keeping our attention, pulling us through it, making us get to the end and feel something. What do you hope that the readers take away from reading Model Marine?
I hope they better understand veterans. I hope that readers understand and remember that many of us can have different opinions and different perspectives, and we can still be a family. You know, I would like to think that my characters had very different opinions on things, but it was evident that they operated as a team. And in a lot of ways, they were a family. And that goes for, you know, the civilians in the story as well. We all have a place we're coming from. And I just wanted people to understand the military experience, understand how the Marine Corps is, what it's like for a woman in the Marine Corps, and understand that we all need to be a little more understanding of each other. is really what it boils down to.
Wow, well said. And we're speaking with Sandra Sykes Meek. The book is called Model Marine. Have any of your, as you said, you're like a family. Have any Marines that you serve with? Did you send the book to any of them?
Yes, I have. Actually, yes. So I keep in touch with several of the Marines that I served with, and they're closer than family, a lot of them. And even though we haven't seen each other in years, you know, anytime I travel and I'm in a location where I know that one of my former Marines was there, I'm going to go and see them. So, yes.
Yeah. So here's the question. What did they tell you? Did they love it?
So the female Marines that I have received feedback from have all said they loved it. I've not received any negative feedback from any Marine, actually, male or female. And I hear things, I get comments like, it reminded me of boot camp, or it reminded me of, you know, such and such deployment, or, you know, it just takes them back to that experience that most of us really treasure.
Yeah, I mean, again, the character is wonderful. Is this something you'd continue? Would you do another novel?
Absolutely. I want badly to write another novel or several. What my problem is that I haven't decided on what's next. I have short stories in development that have nothing to do with the Marine Corps, and I have some outlines of other stories that I'd like to develop. But I believe that if Model Marine does well and people really connect with those characters, that's a story I would like to consider, you know, doing a series on.
Yep. Well, I loved it. Sandra Sykes Meek, pick up the book. It's called Model Marine, Amazon, etc. That's where you can get it. And thanks to you and thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, Kate.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.